Are we on, Sandy? Great. So this is the Lessard Sands Outdoor Heritage Commission meeting, August 5th, 2014. You have in front of us, in front of you, the agenda. The meeting is broken into two parts today. The first part being interviews for the executive director. The second part being our normal business that we planned on conducting in terms of what projects we're going to select and some accomplishment plans and education for members. You have a different seating today. This is sitting up front are the panel that was convened by LCC to help us come to an executive director choice. I just want to outline the process for everyone to make sure everyone knows what we've done at this point. And I'm going to have Greg say a few words about this. I do want to remind everyone that we are advisory to the LCC in terms of the selection of the executive director. Having said that, the LCC has made clear that they want our input and are very, very likely to take our input in that choice. They don't want to make a choice without us. But the process was that the job was published, or the job description was published, and applications came to the LCC. They got, I think, 35 applications for the position. They did an initial screening of their staff, which resulted in a recommendation to the panel to interview four candidates. The panel then got all of the resumes and reviewed them, and in discussions with the LCC, asked the LCC to interview six instead of four candidates. So the LCC staff then interviewed those six candidates, came back to the panel with a recommendation that the panel interview three candidates as finalists. Subsequent to that, one of those candidates dropped out, leaving us three to interview, which were interviewed yesterday. The panel determined that two of the candidates should be forwarded to the whole council for interview by us today. The interviews that we are going to do today and the selection that we're going to make are in public. So this is recorded. I don't know who's in the audience, but the media or anyone else is here to watch and comment on it. I think it's odd to do this in public, but it is the public meeting law we have to work with, so we have no choice about that. And so the process will be interviewing of two candidates and then a discussion, and our choices at the end of that are to pick one of those candidates or pick Noel's candidate and go back to the pool. So with that, Greg, do you want to outline anything that I've missed and some of the context for how we have to do this process?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Greg Gibbons with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, feeling quite odd being here. I'd much rather be over in the corner with the other staff or even better out in the audience. But because of the statutory requirement that Lessard Sands Council and the LCC are to coordinate in the hiring of the director, our office has been heavily involved with the chair and members of the council in this recruitment and appointment process. I would say at the outset that the two finalists' names are public now, Heather Koop and Kevin Bogalke. The member panel is aware of the names of some of the other candidates because of the interviews. I'm aware that in this part of the world, lots of names have been discussed by the members, but none of those names are public and should not be raised here in this public meeting. The only two names that should be talked about are the two finalists. The member panel asked a series of questions yesterday of the three candidates. I believe that that's the set of questions that you had available in front of you. There will be some discussion about if you want to use those questions or some different ones. The chair is going to raise a process for dealing with follow-up questions. Just a piece on the background, the questions that are asked. There are sort of two standards that we generally follow. First is that the legislature generally follows state law, and because the council is a part of the legislative branch, the council is required to follow the state law as well. We don't violate the Human Rights Act by asking questions that would reflect any characteristics of that are protected in state law. So we can't ask if a person is married, we can't ask what church they go to on Sunday, that kind of thing. Those are fairly standard pieces of knowledge that we're all aware of. The other sort of standard is that you want to ask questions of candidates that relate to the job. You want to know from the candidates what kinds of experience and training and skills they have in order to be successful in the job. So the questions are related to the job, and I think if you look at the set of questions that you have, you'll find that that's the case. You don't get to ask questions that may be of interest to you, but may not relate to the job. You don't ask about hobbies, for example, because they don't relate to how well the person is able to carry out the work of that director of this council. There have been lots of suggestions from members about can we ask the candidate, for example, if they hunt and fish, and having that as an avocation does not indicate whether a person can be successful in the job. But if you look at the questions that have been provided to you on the second page, we look at question number 13. We believe that this gets at that question of hunting and fishing in an acceptable way, and we hope that that would satisfy those of you who are interested in that particular aspect of the candidate's background. We like to ask the same questions of the candidates so that we know that they're all being, that the both of them are being treated fairly.
Jim?
I just have a question, Greg. You said, you know, asking about a hobby, hunting or fishing or whatever, has no brand on job. Says who? Who made that decision?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Cox. Because the question doesn't relate to the skills and experience.
That may be your experience, but in my experience in hiring people, it might have a great deal.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Cox, the legislature is quite focused on being following narrowly the law that says that you ask questions.
Well, I don't care about the legislature. I'm on the Start Council, and I'm trying to find the best person for the job, okay? If you don't want to ask them those questions when you do your job, that's fine. But for me, who's trying to figure out who's going to be the best person to handle this job, I have questions I want to ask. And if I think that whether he knows anything about hunting or fishing or whatever, I don't see why I can't ask him that question.
It's not part of the job description.
We all approved it. Who approved it?
We did as a group.
When did we approve it?
Months ago.
Oh, months ago. When was it?
Seriously?
We're
going to have this fight now.
Well, when are we going to have it? Next week?
You don't remember being at the meeting when everyone reviewed and approved the job description? You don't think you were at that meeting?
Oh, that's because... Oh, okay. This is ridiculous.
Danny?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Gibbinger, I normally would be uncomfortable sitting up there. It's unusual to see you here. Mr. Cox, we do need to follow the law. We are part of the legislative process. This group is advisory to the legislature, and we cannot come here and ask questions that are going to put this body or this group in trouble. I think you can get at the gist of what you want to do by following the process, but please don't jeopardize us as a group by asking questions that are not consistent with the human rights law. We can't get ourselves in trouble here by doing something that we're advised not to do. That would be inappropriate. And we are part of the legislative process. If I'm not mistaken, this body has been through this process once before, and we are trying to follow it according to the law. This is a tough situation to be in. If you remember, Senator Engelbrecht and I actually tried to change this process, follow more of the LCCMR, and we were not able to get the legislature to go along. That's a process you need to follow if you want to change the law. But we are not above the law. We have to follow the law here, and it's important we do that. I was referencing, we tried to become like LCCMR, which has a little bit different open meeting law requirements, and the legislature didn't go along with that idea. But we've been through this body. I was not on it, Senator Engelbrecht, and I believe you, Mr. Rawls, Representative Hansen, and I believe Senator Saxhaw, maybe Mr. Cox, have all been through this before when you hired Mr. Becker. I was not here then, but I think we're following basically the same process. And I know in the audience are additional staff here to help us, but we have to follow the law. We may not like the law, but then we go to the legislature and change it. But we're not free to say, I'm going to break the law and do what I want to do, because you're jeopardizing this body and the relationship we have. Our recommendations have been followed closely by the legislature for a number of years because of the high standing of this body. I don't think we want to jeopardize that. Thank you.
I just have one other question. My question was, who determined that asking, and I'm just using the example of hunting and fishing, is not pertinent to the job description? That's what I was asking. Who made the decisions of what is and what isn't pertinent to this job? I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm talking about asking simple questions. We were told we were going to have the chance to interview these candidates, and that's not true. We're going to listen to a bunch of screen questions that all mine got tossed, that have nothing to, we're not going to answer my questions about these candidates. I'm not talking about breaking the law. Do you understand? I'm not talking about breaking the law. I want to know who determined what is and what isn't pertinent to the job, the questions we're going to ask these candidates. Is there some kind of a board around here at the state that determines what can and can't be asked and what is and what isn't pertinent to a job here at the state?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cox, asking somebody what their hobbies are in regards to a job description would be inappropriate.
That was my question. Said who? Who said that?
Mr. Dubinger said it about 5 minutes
okay.
ago.
Okay. Well, then it's the law.
Bill, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dubinger, when you hire somebody for an executive director or staffing for the different portion of this constitutional amendment, that being the water portion of this Clean Water Council, would it not be a good question to ask them what experience you have working with watersheds or working in watersheds before you would? And would that be a reasonable request? And the reason I say that is because we talk about hunting and fishing all the time here. So why would that not be a reasonable request? My question to you then would be, if you're hiring for clean water, which I assume you do the same, would you not want to know that experience or that relationship that person has with any of that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, there is not an equivalent council or commission for clean water. There's a clean water council made up of agency staff that on occasion have made recommendations to the legislature about appropriations, but there isn't a formal process like there is with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. If there were a position, though, it would be entirely appropriate to ask about a person's experience and knowledge about policies and issues that relate to clean water and watersheds.
Mr. Chair, so most of those positions are appointed by the legislature and other bodies throughout the state, throughout the state government. But it would be a pertinent question to ask. If you're seeking the Clean Water Council, would you belong to an organization? Oh, for instance, that's someone who doesn't forever or Deer Hunters Association.
I think
am I way off base here or something? I mean, don't we want to know if somebody knows the practice of hunting and fishing, if they're going to be talking with those groups that come forward with projects?
I think that the issue here is that our job if you read the Constitution, is about habitat protection. That is what the Constitution talks about. It doesn't talk about hunting and fishing. It talks about habitat protection. The only reference to hunting and fishing is that land must be open to hunting and fishing unless prohibited by law. Fee title. So the real issue here is how can our executive director work at doing the best job possible to protect, enhance, and restore habitat. That's got to be our focus. And the fact that you can hunt, you can fish, you can birdwatch, you can hike, you can do anything else on that land is secondary to protecting, restoring, and enhancing that habitat for wildlife. So this is not an issue that is about whether or not you can hunt and fish on that land. We're about habitat. Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Senator Inkovitz does make a good point. But I do think, Senator, that the question number 13 covers it in the same way that if you rephrased it and put watershed or whatever into it, that you didn't get the answer that you probably received. I mean, when it says your own view, I don't know how much closer we're going to get
to that. Yeah. I remember the meeting when you've gone through kind of this process that's happened. And I go back before we started the process, and you announced who was going to be on the selection committee. And I indicated that there were many members of the council that had a desire to serve in that role. My understanding is that the council was going to have, the council in total was going to have a great impact on who would be hired for this position. And the words that ring in my ears, they just never go away. And I said, I would very much like for you to include more people in your selection committee. And you said that the only way that the selection committee was going to change was if you were removed as the chair. Why would you not allow members who wanted to serve, who've been around here the longest, to participate or at least observe in that process? Why would you not allow that?
There were many factors in figuring out how to thread this needle. We could not have a quorum of the executive committee or any other committee that we had as part of the panel, because then the panel would be subject to the open meeting law. And in trying to figure out how we could have a representative group from the House, from the Senate, appointees from the House, Senate, and governor, not violate the open meeting law in doing that, make sure we had Republicans and Democrats. There weren't a lot of choices in how to do that. This is a panel that was advisory to the LCC. It wasn't a committee of the council to get us to this point. What I did say was the council will decide who to recommend to the LCC to hire. And that is the truth. That's what we're going to go through today, is recommending. And as I said before, the choice is A, B, or none of the above. And we can have that discussion, and anything is okay within that. But we had to create a process that narrowed it down. Until yesterday afternoon, none of the people that applied were public names. And to this day, there were 35 people that applied. There are only two who are supposed to be public. I'm frankly pissed off that that's not the case, that people knew who applied, that there were people talking about who applied from our own group, because that's not what we agreed to. So there's something wrong here, that we have a process that had to respect the rights of those that were applying, because they had jobs and put their own jobs in jeopardy in some place by applying. We had given them a commitment of confidentiality which was not followed. It's not right, and it wasn't followed. The only people that this whole group should know about, frankly, are the two candidates in front of us because of that confidentiality. And I know that's not the case. I'm absolutely certain that's not the case. But we did this. This is, I want to tell you, this is miserably difficult to figure out how to do a hiring process in a group that's subject to the open meeting law. I would tell you that any legislator who thinks the open meeting law is a great thing ought to sit in this chair for a while, because and do a hire. It is really, really tough to please everybody in this process. You know, it would have been a whole lot easier if we could have figured out how to in a closed meeting, interview 10 people if that's what the group wanted to, and have everyone review the resumes and go through it and have that discussion. That's not the world we live in. I don't like it, but it's what it is, and I've done my best, and you can say I've done a terrible job, and I'll take it. I have done my best to create a process that starts from 35 and gets us down to a small number that we can interview in the public. Bob?
Point of order, Mr. Chair. I received this back in March. Lassard sends out their Heritage Council Executive Director search process. And it says here that the LCC will provide an updated job description to the full council for suggestions. The next line says that the advisory panel, of which I was one of the five, will work with the LCC to finalize the job description. Nothing about the council having an opportunity to vote or decide on the final job description. I believe we've been following this. Just raise that as a point of order.
What I will tell you is that I believe everyone here received the job description and the opportunity to comment on it, and I don't know if any comments that came in were not incorporated into that job description by anybody, panel or the council. James?
I'm not going to say anything here that's going to change the process, but I just have been reflecting on this for a while, and all of us have. And this is such a bizarre circumstance. And I know I got that email, you know, inviting input on the job description, so I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the process. I don't think the council, it would be appropriate to winnow through everything that we got from all the applicants, all 35. I wasn't thrilled with the composition of the panel, and everybody knows it. But and today I'm not thrilled with the fact that we only have two candidates for us to interview. That is not a list. That's not a short list. It's a foregone conclusion. However, I don't think had we done it any differently, I don't think had the panel been any different, I don't think we'd be looking at anybody different. I think that the cream rises to the top, and I trust the people who are on the panel and on LCC to look at the requirements of the job, respect the law. There's another issue I have, though. It is the whole thing about the open meeting and the privacy expected of an applicant. What are you talking about, that they would expect privacy and that they'd get fired if they applied for a job, you know, in this venue? There are laws and standards that protect people when they're making a job application too. Now, if you look at each 35 of them, maybe there are some circumstances that work for a small enough company that they would have gotten axed. But you know, there are laws and standards that protect people from that sort of thing. So that's what I'm talking about. How bizarre it is! It's bizarre. I can't believe that people who would apply to this group, which is under such a microscope and has to follow the open meeting, everything has to be public, and then all of a sudden that's not public. That's bizarre. But again, it's just a reflection. I don't know that we would be sitting in any different place than we are today, and I do agree that our job is to make recommendations to the legislature on habitat. So if I thought that we were sitting here looking at a bunch of unqualified people, I would be singing a different song.
So I'm not happy with the whole process, but I'd like to get on with our work.
Okay. And I agree with you, just to clarify, that applying for a job doesn't necessarily put your job in jeopardy. It does change how your employer looks at you if they know you're applying for other jobs.
An employer who doesn't respect somebody for wanting to better themselves, that's pathetic. But whatever.
Jim?
Yeah, David, I have one more job. I mean, this is one of the highest paying, highest profile conservation jobs in the state. So I guess my question to you is, I mean, from your process, do you think you came up, okay, we came up with one person, Kevin Lugalke. This is the most qualified, best person we could possibly have to run the Lasard. I mean, were you successful in your process? This is the guy, Kevin Lugalke. He's the most qualified person in the state to run this council.
We have two candidates to look at.
Well, Heather was here, so that couldn't have been too big of a stretch to find her.
We did not know she was going to apply, so you know we have two candidates that we interviewed. Are there others out there who we did not look at that would be more qualified? Potentially there are. But they chose not to apply for whatever
reason. Of the people you brought forward, of the 40 people, I would hope you made an effort to cast a pretty large net. I hope you just didn't. I mean, there was an effort to bring people into the process, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and of the 40 people, 35 people, Kevin Lugalke is the top guy. He's got the best qualifications of those 35 or 40 people.
We believe that the two candidates that we're going to interview today, of those that applied and stayed in the process, are the most capable and the best candidates that we could find in those that applied.
You know, the process to me was not terribly inclusive, and you have many reasons for that. One that I remember was that you wanted some people around that were going to be here, you know, whose terms continue. That was really, really important to you. But to me, we had 30 applicants, there were six interviews based on which told me one guy dropped out. Okay, left five qualified candidates. Okay. If we got 35 people narrowed down to five, okay, and they passed the muster.
Just let me correct you there. We staff interviewed six and came back and recommended four.
Okay.
Four, not five, not six, four.
Well, didn't when LCC interviewed, they went through the resumes, they interviewed Six candidates. Now, obviously, those six candidates were qualified, or they wouldn't be there. Is there any reason we can't have an opportunity when we've gone from 35 down to 5 that we can't have an opportunity to talk to those? They were obviously qualified. They got an interview that we couldn't talk to those. This appears to me to be kind of a, I mean, unless, and my comments don't in any way reflect on the two candidates that we have. Okay. I just don't know who else was there. Okay? And so you said, you know, the council's going to ultimately recommend. Okay? And basically what that means to me is the council is either going to pick one of our two choices or we're not going to approve anybody's. And that doesn't appear to me to be very inclusive as far as what the talent that might be available. Is there any way that the council can interview the five people that made the LCC interview cut?
If the entire council votes to do that, absolutely.
I would like to make a motion that we interview all five candidates, just so that at the end of the day, we have the best chance of hiring the best person for the job.
What I would tell you, and we will take a vote on this, the LCC interviewed six candidates and felt two were not qualified to do the job. That was part of the process. The reason you do initial interviews is to winnow it down, because someone has a look on a piece of paper that's different than what they appear in person and what they can offer you in person. That's why you do interviews. So this process of going from 35 to 6 to 4 is part of what any hiring process will do in terms of winnowing down the folks. And you never, I've never at least, hired someone for this kind of position based on one interview. You want to learn whether or not that person is appropriate, and you throw some people out in each step of the process because other people are more qualified or certain candidates don't bring certain skills that are necessary. Or the fit isn't right or whatever. There are many reasons why you don't go forward and hire someone. So the process was always designed to get the number down to a smaller and smaller number as we went through it. Now, if the council wants to go back to 5, we'll go back to 5. But the process has worked to get us to a small number. Tom?
Well, I was just going to ask Scott. I mean, we can take this vote now, but my thought would be we do this interview, and there's the three choices, and indeed the third choice is de facto just what you said, I think.
And that would be correct, but if the council would feel better with their ultimate decision as to who they hire, I could go forward with a much greater sense of confidence, having looked at more than two individuals. Okay? Might not change the outcome of which individual that is, but I'm sitting here supposed to be involved in this process, but this is a terribly important job. Okay? I feel like I'm asked to rubber stamp one of two. If we can not do, we're recommending nobody, we can interview 5 and then recommend somebody from that 5, that would make me feel better. That would make me feel like we've given this, I've been more involved and have a better look at the talent that was available. Okay, it doesn't, it has nothing to do with the current candidates, but it's a sense of confidence that at the end of the day, this person who might be in this job for 10 or 15 years is the right person for the job. I don't see any negative. There's no downside to allowing the council to look at a few more candidates and then pick from that little bit larger pool.
Rick?
Our job here is not to deal with feelings. Our job here is to deal with the law and the process and fairness. So clearly there's a presumption that the two candidates brought forward do not meet the needs of some of the members. So they want to open it back up again. So they must know who the names are. So they just validated your point, Mr. Chair. And I think the council is venturing into really dangerous territory. And if you take this vote, if we take this vote, I want a roll call on it.
Would you run by the process one more time for me? LCC got down to 6 from 35, correct?
LCC got down to 4.
Where did the 6 come from?
The panel reviewed LCC's work, reviewed all of the resumes,
okay,
had a discussion with LCC, and said, we think you missed 2.
Okay.
We'd like you to interview 6, not 4, that you recommended. And LCC said, sure, we'll do that. They interviewed the 6. They came back and said, of that 6, we believe 4 should go to the panel for an interview.
May I ask, without breaking any laws or divulging any names, for what reason the 2 LCC did not recommend? How it went from 6 to 4?
I believe, and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, of the 6, 1 that was cut was on the LCC's original list, and 1 was added by the panel. So the LCC, is that not correct? So LCC took the 4 names,
yep,
added 2, interviewed all 6 of those,
yep,
and said, one of the ones that you wanted to add, we think is a good choice. One of them that you wanted to add didn't meet the requirements of the job. Would you then panel interview 4? And the panel said, yes, we'll interview four. We set up the time to do that. And on Friday, one of the candidates withdrew for personal reasons, leaving us three to interview yesterday.
I'm going back to the two from between four and six and what the reasons were that they didn't get into the four. Without disclosing names,
so
and saying that they didn't meet the qualifications, I want to know what qualifications they didn't meet. That's my question.
I'm not going to answer.
Well, legal staff might advise differently, but I don't think we can answer that, Jane. Honestly, I think you may divulge something that could be a potential human rights issue. I don't think that either Mr. Shepherd or Mr. Hubinger would need advice.
Because it would identify by subject matter who the person is we're talking about?
You know, I don't even think we're getting really, really dangerous.
Okay.
And I would ask them to legal advice. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that potentially...
If we can talk about basic qualifications of the job in a vacuum, that's not a violation of any law.
Can you or Mark answer that?
Give me the generic qualifications that you need.
David, can I just... I think, Ms. Kingston, we thought that the net could be cast a little wider, similar to the group here.
Yeah.
And in careful review, we thought that there was an opportunity to interview a couple more people than the LCC. The LCC was being very careful, trying to follow the guidelines for the job description. We asked them to cast a little wider net, and they did that. I think that process was successful. We added a few more people.
Mm-hmm.
Just while I have the floor, Scott, your discussion, I think Senator Saxhog hit it on the head. If we're not happy with the two people that we've whittled it down to, this group here is the group that's the most important. And if this group doesn't think that we can come to a consensus today with where we're at, we can regroup. But it might be more appropriate not to regroup only to one step back. We have plenty of time. We could regroup to a step back and start farther back and maybe all the way over. I'm not advocating for that at this point. But this group here, I will tell you, is the group that's supposed to make a strong recommendation. And I believe that's the group that made the recommendation for Mr. Becker when he was hired. And I don't believe the LCC changed that recommendation, and it would be my hope they wouldn't hear. So I think there's a process in place for the important considerations yet to happen.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I don't think my question was answered. And I also wanted
to
reiterate
to that
I'm not dissatisfied with the two. I'm not.
So let me ask legal staff and Greg how far you can go in answering your question. Please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Mark Shepherd from the Hollis Research Department. I have not been a participant in this process, so I don't know any of the factual background. But in general, the State Government Data Practices Act specifies the kind of information that you can release on an employee or an applicant for a job. And I think that the reasons why a person did not advance in the process generally is not one of the pieces of data that you are allowed to release under the Data Practices Act. And so if there were anything like that, I would say the council likely would be best off not releasing that information.
Thank you. Can I follow them?
Yep, please.
Instead of asking what disqualified them, I'd like to know what the qualifications were then. I mean, the panel has to have some kind of an idea, as does LCC, as to what the basic qualifications for the job are. And I don't need to be pointed to the job description, because that's way too lengthy. I'm looking for like a 6-point top qualifications for a position. That's not unusual. That's basic human resources. That's basic hiring. What are the basic qualifications for the job?
Do you want to take a shot at that, or do you want me to?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Kingston, the staff group and, from my observation, the member panel focused on the core aspects of the job, which are a familiarity with the grants management process, a strong familiarity and experience in natural resources, restoring habitat, natural resources background, some awareness and knowledge of the legislative process. I mean, if you get down to the core, I think that would be...
There was another factor, which was, is capable and willing to be support to the council, not to speak for the council and be seen. We didn't feel that it would be appropriate to have someone who we work for. We want someone who works for us.
That's helpful.
And nonpartisan.
Thank you.
Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions and a couple points to your points, Mr. Chair. I've been part of an interview process, hiring and terminating the biggest share of my other career. And I know that you know, they're supposed to keep the interviewees and keep that confidential. I get that. I know that. I understand that. But there's nothing saying that a person who gets turned down can't come out and say, hey, wait a minute, why didn't I get an interview? So to point the finger at the group and say, there's a lack of confidence in this group is not always that way. There might be somebody that says, wait a minute, you selected somebody over me. That brings it up somewhat public. Would you agree?
Absolutely right. I will tell you that I have seen an email that was fairly conclusive that the names have been shared. Least one.
Yeah, and I don't know about that, but that's possible. And I've been part of that process, so I know that's clear. My question to Mr. Huebinger is, why are we always to narrow it down to two, and why not five? For this group to interview, where did we come up with that? Maybe somebody else can answer that. We've only done it once before.
The first time we did it, the panel narrowed it to one and gave the council one choice. It gave the council two choices: hire Bill Becker or go back and find someone new. That was the result of the first panel. We, as a panel, interviewed the three candidates that LCC recommended, the four less the one that withdrew, and felt that two of those were more qualified for the job than the third, and that the third did not have the experience, the critical experience necessary for this position. And we discussed, should we bring one or two or three? There wasn't a unanimous vote on that, but the majority of the panel felt that two of those three was the right number to bring to this council. And so we did sort of what, as a group, we decided to do. I suspect today, assuming we go forward today, it will be hard to get a unanimous approval, but if there's one person that says no and everyone else says yes, we're going to go forward. I don't think we can assume that we're going to reach consensus on every issue. So the reason we're at two is because LCC interviewed six and said four of those ought to be advanced to the panel for interviews. The panel interviewed three of those four because one dropped out and said two of the three are worthy of the council's deliberation as to which is the most appropriate person.
One more question. Was that done by one interview by Mr. Huebinger and his group that does the interviews? And I'm sorry, who's on that panel? Can you divulge that?
The LCC panel was...
Mr. Chair and Senator, Mr. Knopp, Ms. Taylor, and Patrick McCormick from House Research, okay, and myself.
And those are brought down to that number of six by then just reviewing on document their qualifications, not by interviewing? Or am I missing that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, we looked at the 35 applications. We noted down to four. consulted with the member panel. They suggested two additional names. The staff group interviewed six candidates.
Okay, so you had one interview with them. Okay, Mr. Chair, you just said one interview sometimes doesn't work.
Then the panel interviewed the recommended ones on top of that, and we as a group will interview the finalist candidates.
The final two. Yeah. Would there be anything wrong when you see the, and you can call it what you like, and out of respect for the two that have finalized, I hate to even talk about this because I'm not saying that they're not qualified. I'm just saying we should cast a little larger net of the five. And what would be wrong with you, Mr. Chair, saying that let's interview all five? I think that's reasonable. You just said yourself it's painfully tough to do this. Why would you not utilize all 12 people for that?
I believe the process of winnowing down to a final group for the council to interview and select is an appropriate way to handle this. I don't think that going back to six after we've had two rounds of interviews, one with the LCC, one with the panel, to get us to a smaller number is a bad process. And so I think to go back to five would be a mistake. That's my personal belief as a group. I think we're going to end up voting on that and deciding, because it's not my choice, it's the group's choice. Jim, or Ron, and then Jim, and then Sue.
Mr. Chair, I think the bottom line here is a lot of us are unhappy that we're down to basically a flip of the coin on who our new executive director is. Three would have been better than two, or four would be better than three. Frankly, I think you whittled it down too far for the rest of us. And I would suggest that we at least have three interviews instead of two. And again, no reflection on the two finalists, but two is a flip of the coin here.
Okay.
Well, just to the points Representative McNamara and Senator Saxon were making, when we only have the two people, and that's our choice, the other three people, the other four people, may influence our decision on those first two. We might discard the first two, see who the other four were, and say, wow, I wish I would have taken that first guy because these other four are not as good candidates. So I think there's an advantage for us to see all five of them. It's gonna have an influence on if we see the whole picture, it's going to be a lot easier to make a decision than just seeing part of it and wondering what's on the other side.
Sue?
Yesterday during the member panel group, we had a long discussion. It forced us into overtime about a half hour behind schedule yesterday on whether or not we wanted yesterday to interview all five instead of the three that we had. Long discussion about it, and after looking at the reasons why, which for the Data Privacy Act, why we can't talk about it in the open meeting law, but yesterday in the member panel we could, of why those two were cut by the LCC before they came to us, we agreed, the entire member panel, that it did not make sense to bring those other two in. So there were really good reasons to have a list of three and stick with the list of three. We had the same discussion yesterday. I would be surprised, frankly, if we could have that discussion today, which we cannot, if you wouldn't come to the same conclusion. That being said, you certainly don't have to take my word for it, but there were five people in the room yesterday, and five people decided, no, we're not going to interview those other two.
So I think we're to vote on whether or not we proceed to do it or step back and how far back we go. Your motion, I believe, is to interview the five. I'd like clarification from you, because I heard how far back do you step is a question. Is it just the five, or is it to open the process up completely?
My motion would be to interview the five. step back to that spot and no further.
I just wanted the clarification. Jim, and then Dan.
So, and it was six, and one person took himself out. Is that why there's five?
Him or herself out.
Okay.
Can I just clarify? I would assume that if we go backwards, it cannot happen today. Is there requirements about the postings and stuff, or is the expectation?
They're not here, so it absolutely isn't going to be today.
And the timing would be whatever what it would depend. There probably would be further motions after this one if it succeeded. Thank you.
You know, the timing would be what the timing could be worked out. You know, I will tell you, getting everybody together in the summer is less than easy. So, Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ron, so you brought the point up of that the flip of the coin you didn't think was a good thing, that you'd be more comfortable with three. So, I mean, you threw that out there. I mean, would that be your preference over doing the five again?
Well, three is better than two. I would be happier with three. Five, I would go along with. But just as a point of clarification for Representative Hansen, etc., my concern about the two is not because I have any knowledge of any names. I have no knowledge of names. I'm just saying the flip of the coin doesn't feel right to me here.
James?
Could there be a friendly amendment? Would you accept three instead of five?
I would leave my motion as it is.
Okay.
All right. Elizabeth.
I'm glad we're going to have a vote on this. My heart goes out to the two people that are ready to interview today. I think probably this is a rather late stage to bring this up as to how many candidates we wanted to see, and maybe that was something we should have said, that we would like to interview three to five. I do believe that the people that were on the panel are honest and thorough people. And trust has to come into play, and sometimes I feel I can trust people and sometimes I don't. At the same time, I usually try to trust until proven otherwise that I shouldn't. And at this point in time, I would like to put the trust in the people, the five people, plus the two candidates that are ready to interview and probably very nervous and probably very well prepared and would probably be very disappointed and look at themselves and say, oh, what did I do wrong? And if ultimately we would choose them, I think they would then be at a real disadvantage to be able to relate well to all of us because we did not show them our confidence. So I bring that, and that would be the reason for my vote when I vote. But I do want to think outside what our feelings are and maybe what the feelings of the candidates would be. Thank you.
Sandy, will you take the roll?
Jim Cox.
Yes.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Senator Ingridson.
Yes.
Jane Kingston.
No.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Sue Olson.
No.
Scott Rall.
Yes.
Senator Saxhoff.
No.
Ron Shera.
Yes.
Elizabeth Wilkins.
No.
Bob Anderson.
Yes.
Chair Hartwell.
No.
Five yes, seven no.
Five.
No.
Five yes.
No. Okay. No. So I just didn't want to do it wrong. Thank you all.
Could I make a motion?
Of course you can.
I would like to make a motion that we interview three, not five.
Okay.
Is
Is there any discussion on that motion?
As for roll call, I think the comments that were all said related, particularly Councilmember Wilkins, apply the same to 3 versus 5. So I would encourage a no vote.
Any comments, Sandy?
Representative Hansen.
No.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Jane Kingston.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Sue Olson.
No.
Scott Rall.
Yes.
Senator Saxon.
No.
Ron Shera.
Yes.
Elizabeth Wilkins.
No.
Bob Anderson.
Yes.
Jim Cox.
No.
Chair Hartwell.
No.
Very interesting.
4 yes, 8 no.
This is fun. So we're going to go forward with the interviews. I want to talk about the questions which are in front of you and how we want to handle follow-on questions. The panel talked yesterday. We are very cognizant of staying within the boundaries of the law. And for that reason, if you have follow-on questions, please put them on a piece of paper so they can be reviewed by staff before we're asked and ask the questions. You have in front of you a series of questions which we asked yesterday. And these are the recommended questions to ask. There are more questions here than probably can be asked in an hour interview, which is what we're going to try to stay with. It may be that we have to go over that, but we actually didn't ask all of these questions yesterday. And so my recommendation is that we winnow the list a little bit. If there is a question you want to add to the list, that's fine. We can talk about that. So I'd like to open the discussion with what questions do you want to actually ask the candidates? And the thought is that we would have the panel ask the questions rather than the whole group, because the whole group becomes, if there's an odd number of questions, someone's asking twice and it gets a little uncomfortable. But if you want to do it that each council member asks a question, we can do it that way too. This is your decision, not ours. We have a recommendation that it just be the 5 of us, but if you want to do it differently, that's fine as well.
Mr. Chair, before we start, I would just like to make just one comment here that I think it was a reasonable request that we go with 5, and let me explain why. When you have a group of 12 people and there's 5 people that feel very strongly about that, moving forward with an interview process, I think is somewhat not what this group has done in the past, is be reasonable. If it would have been 2, if it had been 1, I think it would be more reasonable to move forward. But with 5 people feeling that they should be interviewing 5 is a pretty big number of 12. Yes, it's not this is a democracy. I understand that the majority does rule, but I feel very strongly that you, as the chair, could have actually gone further than this and went with the 5. I think those that are talking about it, if they're not willing to put the time in, really, I think they are willing to put the time in. I don't care how tough it is. You can sit back and say, yes, the chair, you're the folks that want this. Here's going to be the day, either be here or not be heard. So I think it was very unreasonable. I just wanted to put that on the record. I'm not going to participate in the process if you're going to move forward. That's how strongly I feel about this group. Five members is a huge group, huge number here. Frankly, I'll come back for the rest of the meeting, but I'm not going to participate at this point. I think it's unreasonable. So just so everybody knows that.
I'm terribly sorry you feel that way, but respect your feelings.
Mr. Chair, can I ask if we can recess for 10 minutes?
I would not deny a request for a recess.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move we recess for 10 minutes and leave it up to your discretion.
don't know what my discretion is. But
well, you're the one that can call us to recess.
Oh, I'd be happy to go into recess at the request of one of our members for 10 minutes. So we'll come back here at 9:15. So, clearly we're at a point that's not where we wanted to be. I don't know exactly what we do going forward. I do want to be very clear that how we got the two was with the best of intention, thinking that we were doing the right thing by winnowing the group down to a smaller group that would give the council the choice of the best candidates in the pool. And I am deeply sorry that there's a feeling that we didn't do that appropriately because the intention was right. Did we make the right decision? Who knows? But the intention to do this appropriately and to provide the council with really solid choices was pure. With that, I think we need to open up the discussion about what we do now that we've got three members who said they won't participate in the process and are leaving, and potentially others that might decide to do that as well. Do we want to go forward? Do we want to take a different course of action? And I leave it to the council to decide. I do not think it's my decision. For that alone, I frankly don't want the responsibility of doing that because I think it falls on all of our shoulders to figure out what we do. Rick?
No, I've been, Mr. Chair and members, I've been on the losing side of a lot of votes over my years, both on this council and in the legislature. But you move forward, and I think we have two candidates that are waiting under the presumption of a posted meeting that they are going to get interviewed, and I think we should go forward with that. I understand, I understand losing on votes, but I hope we have, based on the panel, that we have two winners that we're going to interview, and that we interview them and ask the questions that we're here to do. Every member of the council has a choice on participation, whether to ask questions or not. We're all public officials by law, accountable to our appointing authority and to our voters, those of us who are legislators. So I would encourage us to move forward if we've just been through a painful process, but I want to see these folks in action and have them answer the questions, which was, I think, their expectation and ours imposed in the meeting.
Elizabeth?
I agree with Rick. And all this other kind of thing is pretty much hindsight, and we have a process in place that I think we should follow through on, and that process includes A, B, and C. Candidate A, candidate B, and C, which certainly could be asking the group to bring in two or three more candidates to interview at another meeting. So this would not preclude us opening up the process simply by having the interviews done at this point in time. It would be difficult for those who were not part of the process to know what the candidates are saying, of course, but since this goes on audio, that could easily be reviewed, their answers to those particular questions.
Okay.
Jane? I respect both of your opinions. I respect everybody's opinions in the room and around the table. I'm still going to ask that we have three candidates to interview, and I think it would be most fair to have them all done on the same time, in the hopes that cooler heads will prevail and we'll get a better consensus than what we have here today. And that's just my gut feeling, that I think that we should take a little time out and stop and reflect a little bit and think about the consequences and come back and interview three as a whole council. That's what I'd like to see. That's what I would have liked to have seen today. I think it's a somewhat of a compromise, and I don't think it reflects poorly on the process. I think the process has been a fair one, and I think having the council tied in at the very end is also fair. And making an effort to try to pull together again, I think, is worth it.
Tom?
Well, I know that this this group of five made our recommendations with the best of intentions. But, you know, I respect the whole idea of the possibility that, you know, maybe we should have had more than two, three. I know we discussed that. And with that in mind, I had moved to reconsider the motion for three and go to three. Interview three.
Comments?
Move to amend for five.
Okay. Comments? This is not procedurally. Sorry. I can take
vote on the amendment.
Okay. And then okay, but I'll have discussion on the request to amend to five first. Just want to stay completely legal here. Rick?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask for roll call on both. I understand when there's conflict, the desire to revisit it. But again, we had three members walk out of this council because they were unhappy with the decision. I don't support rewarding bad behavior. One of them was an elected official who didn't like the way the vote turned out. So I understand where people are coming from. And this is why it's very difficult to hire. We were very lucky to have Bill. And we narrowed that to one person to come in front of the council. Not two, not three, but one. And there were many people that applied for that job. So, retrospective, I don't think you did make an error. I think you followed the process that was laid out, and I would encourage us to move forward rather than going back, because then we're going to go back and seesaw again and again and again, and I respect Mr. Anderson and Mr. Saxog and Ms. Kingston's position, but there's not many times where in the legislature we get a do-over.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, Rick, but I think in this whole process, not always on this council, but the whole process, the whole discussion, I'm on Sergeant Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, whether it be in the legislature or whatever. I've been standing up to people who don't agree with me for a long time. But I think this is a tweak we can make that I think will make a difference. We'll bring the people that are really concerned about into the circle. I'm not really concerned about these three people. If they want to take the ball and go home, that's up to them. But I'm concerned about those of us here. Thanks.
Jane?
Yeah, I really respect the opportunity to talk about the whole thing. I just think that this is something that we don't want to rush. There's no, we don't have a time thing today. We don't have to do it today. And if there's a chance to get people back on board, I don't think that's a mistake. And I don't think that's coddling or knuckling under. I think it's trying to make the best leadership decision that you can make in order to lead a group that's like herding cats. And again, it is. But I think that I don't think that we should be rushing to judgment on this today. I think that a lot has happened today, and I would appreciate a timeout. And timeouts are useful. And we're not in a hurry.
You're saying we're all kids.
Yes, and I'm one of them. I would like to see three. I believe that the way that it got from five to three is legitimate. And I want to stress that I don't think that the choice of the candidates is at issue at all. I think that the two that are on there are eminently qualified. I have total confidence in that. I also have confidence that the council could come to that same conclusion. And that three instead of two is not a big deal. It's not a big whoop. So let's just do it. And just take a break.
Elizabeth?
Well, obviously, I agree with Jane. Three is not a big thing. But what it does do is gives us another choice, obviously, and not a flip of a coin. But as far as following the process, I don't think the process anywhere says that this process should be whittled down to two candidates. This was a choice that some people made. And obviously, a lot of us are unhappy with that. When I opened up my communication from the council and saw that we had two candidates, I go, you got to be kidding me. Really? We're down to two? That's all I get to interview? Two? And they might be wonderful. I hope they are. But I have a, you know, my gut tells me this is not a good feeling, good process.
I think if we go to three or five and motion passes, because three people walked out, that's the wrong reason for us to make that decision. But I think if the group that made the decision initially, in whom I have trust, would make a recommendation to us to do that. Looking back, they think that it could be done a different way, and they will look back, and they want to have the opportunity to look back and bring forward another one or two candidates, with a minimum of at least one, you know. But to have that group make that decision, because they're the group that made the decision to do two. So to utilize their expertise in looking at these people and saying, are we best off going to three? Yes, I think we could present three good candidates to you. I think that's the important thing, because maybe they can't present three good candidates to you, to us. And I think that's important for us to realize. Jane does bring up a good point, though the council could make that decision that, oh yeah, that third one wasn't the best choice, rather than that group. But I think having it, the recommendation coming from them, because they initially recommended two, so I'm putting them on the hot seat and saying, individually or as a group, if you even want to take a few minutes and put your heads together, where do you think we should proceed? How do you think we should proceed? And then go and consider their recommendation before we make a motion on how to go ahead. Is that the kind of thing that we could entertain?
Well, we can entertain almost anything, but we're going to hear from Sue and then from me before we entertain anything else.
This has turned into quite the process today, or quite the non-process. I don't think if we brought in three that the people that have left the room are going to be any happier than they are now. Bob has already said unless there's five, he's not going to participate. So Bob is stuck at five. I don't know if the other ones would consider three. I don't think going to three is going to get us anywhere else with the people that are unhappy with the process, and for that reason, and only for that reason, I'd say we just move forward today with the two that we have scheduled.
So, I'm like distraught that we're at this place. As a group, to have this kind of disagreement is certainly not what I was hoping for. I think that walking out of the room was uncalled for and unreasonable, because we as a group need to go forward. You know, Ron and I earlier today had a conversation about how we disagree on food plots, and we laugh about it, and we can disagree and have a good time and still respect each other. Ron and I have done some fun stuff together, and we don't always agree. But we agree to work with each other, and not working with each other is problematic. I personally believe the process that we followed makes sense, and at the same time recognize that we have created something that was unintended. So I will not vote for five. I think that we do have to follow the process somewhat, but I will vote to reconsider for three and delay the interviews today and bring the three finalists that were interviewed by the panel to the whole group for consideration in an attempt to heal the rift. And I know that doesn't sit well with Rick, and I understand why, and completely respect the desire to go forward because we set that up. But I'm also cognizant of trying to find a consensus position, trying to find a way that we can work together as a group, even when we disagree. I apologize to those in the room and those not in the room if my leadership in getting us to this place has contributed to this. It certainly was not my intention. I recognize and take responsibility for it. But I believe trying to work as a larger group together is the right decision today. It's a very... I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's better than permanently alienating three or four of our members. So that's my feeling. Danny?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And being one of the five members that were on the group that was part of whittling it down or whatever that process was, I agree with you that I don't think it makes sense to go forward with the two now, unfortunately. And I absolutely don't want to reward the behavior of the three that thought it was in their best interest or whatever interest to just up and leave the room. But what I would like to do at some point is have a discussion. It's unfortunate this group didn't let its wishes be known before that they wanted to interview five and they wanted a larger group, because I think if we'd have known that, this group of 12 people could have let that be known, that that's what they wanted. They wanted to have at least five candidates interviewed, you know, no matter what. They wanted to have five, an opportunity to pick between five people. We could have done that. That would have been fine. That was not the process that we set forward, as you call it, a whittling down. We started with whatever it was, 38 or 40, and then at one point got to a half a dozen, and then got to four, and three, and two. And evidently the group thinks that's not right. So I guess I would move that we, along with Senator Saxon, there's an amendment to go to five. I think the gist of it is that it looks like we don't want to make a recommendation and don't want to move. And there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that actually the five of us only know of the challenges to get the two people here today, which when I think about, I don't know if that matters with open meeting and all that, but holy cow, what an injustice for the one part of that we've been through and what that people don't know, and to think that, my goodness gracious, now we're going to throw that all out the window, seems kind of silly. So, they agree that it seems this group wants to have three or five. I don't know if the other three want to come and have that discussion. Otherwise, the nine of us that are here, I think, should pick how many they want to come back in the group. Evidently, it's not two. It must not be one. So it's whatever it is, let's have the discussion. So I'm not sure if we want to vote on Bob and Mr. Anderson and Senator Sachs. We first are going to vote on five, I think. I think Rick's asked for a roll call on to move to five, and then we're going to have the base underlying the amendment, a roll call to move to three, and then probably have discussion after that. Potentially it looks like that might pass. I don't know. But I think we should have a good discussion and then get to our regular meeting and let those other two people move on with their lives.
Chairman, I know we the five of us gathered, and I believe I was by telephone on June the 10th, and we're told of the four that we were going to that were going to be interviewed by LCC, and the as five added in two more names, and then LCC was going to interview those six. I wrote down and I thought I had said why not the council interviewing all six, and so I think I've been consistent on that. I was consistent yesterday. I'm wanting to do three, and I just forget it. Yeah. Rick?
I know throughout the morning people have said nothing against the two candidates who are here, but just by saying that doesn't make it right, and that clearly the we can, and often Representative McNamara and Senator Sachs, people talk about process when it's the outcome that they want, and so the potential outcome of hiring one or two of these candidates clearly wasn't acceptable. I don't know who the other ones are, but I think until you achieve an outcome that some people want, they'll be unhappy. That's what happens. And that's whoever gets the job in the future is going to have to deal with that. And I want to just point out again the skill that Mr. Becker has had to deal with competing interests and desires of the interest groups and the members. And Bill, that's going to be hard to replace. That's not the process that we're going through. So we can try to achieve consensus and we can take the time out. But until some people get the outcome that they want, they're not going to be happy, and that's a disservice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Elizabeth, you know, I thought you had pretty good ideas, so all five of us have expressed an opinion on this, so I think you have a pretty good idea. You know, that we're conflicted in here, but three of us believe that three is the way.
I'd like to just